can see there's a big word up there saying Jonah. And so if you weren't here last week, we've begun a series on the book of Jonah. So we did chapter 1 last week. There's four chapters, so we'll take 4 weeks to go through Jonah. What we're doing is we're following Jonah really on his journey with God and his ups and his downs, and we're through it, we're seeing the real heart God has for people as well in his journey. So we're carrying on this morning in Jonah. Now, one of the joys in the Christian life, somebody who's walking with God, I think, is to discover just what you are good at, that you can kind of special abilities that God's given you that you can use for him. I think that's one of the real joys, is that journey of discovery where you try different things out and think, that's me. That's what God's given me, that extra thing to do. And then when you use those in whatever area they might be, you know, there's nothing more satisfying in doing that. And when you come to Jonah, I mean, he had that in a big way, in a massive way. He was kind of a seasoned walker with God. He'd been a follower of God for some time, and God had given him extra kind of special abilities which he could serve God with. And he had already made a bigger impact for God in his walk. And at this point where we... In Jonah's life, where we came, God had approached him and said, "Hey, I've got something special for you to do," and it would utilize the special gifts and talents that he had been given in a mighty way. God asked him to go to the city of Nineveh, and the Ninevites weren't nice people. They used to skin people and behead them and do nasty things to them. And because their walk was so far from God, God asked Jonah, if head over to Nineveh and just warn these people that they're on dodgy ground. You know, God had a real heart for them. Even though they were far from him, he had a heart for them. He said, warn these people. I'm going to judge them. They better turn their lives around and begin to follow me. And he had equipped Jonah for that. You know, that was his special ability. And he, as we looked at last week, I mean, how cool that in black and white he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. So what did he do? Sure thing. Let's go together, God. Let's head on to... No, he didn't, as we found out last week. He said, no, I'm not going. I'm out of here. And he resigned his commission, his following God-ness, his being a prophet, and he took off in the other direction. But he wasn't running away from Nineveh. He was actually running away from God. He just wanted to get as far away from God as he could. So his walk with God kind of is at an all-time low. But the question, you know, had he blown it? Now, had he really blown it with God at this point? Was there hope for him? Would there be a second chance, you know, where he could get back on board with God and become that force again? You know, would heaven even be his home now? Or had he really blown it with God? You know, I mentioned last week about a young guy that had really influenced my life. Remember Chris? There's other people, sort of more seasoned walkers with God, that have really been a huge influence on my life. If you just pause the record here, thanks, Lance. Some that have been, and you might have friends and family in that position as well, and influence in your life, who have seemed to have blown up with God and walked away off on a detour. Is there hope for them? Or have they kind of been written off by God? Would God ever draw them back? And if he does, will he ever use them again? So good practical questions. Well, we're in the book of Jonah. And where we left him last week, he had been thrown into the sea. So let's see if we can answer some of those questions. So he's been thrown into the sea by the sailors, and he's bobbing around, but I really think with some regrets, and taking some of the words he said just before he was thrown into the sea, taking certain responsibilities for his action. But is there hope for him? You know, or has he really blown it with God? Will he be able to serve God again? So Jonah chapter 2 we'll look at. And here we find a prayer that he prayed from within the fish, which describes his experiences in the sea, where we did leave him last week. So we'll pick it up at verse 3. And he says, "You held me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. And the current swirled around me, and the waves and breakers swept over me." So you get the picture of him being tossed around by the sea. And he's struggling to stay up in the water, and the waves are kind of breaking over his head. Not a good position to be in. When I was in my early teens, it was... our family went and holidayed on the side of Lake Taupo with my cousins and their family, my mum's sister. And we were out. My cousin said, "Hey, let's go out." As I find my page, "Let's go out on." They had a little trailer sailor, and my cousin said, "Let's go out on this trailer sailor." I think it might have even been smaller than a trailer sailor. So the two of us headed out. And it was nice and calm, enough wind blowing to get out on the water. But then suddenly the weather turned. And I was tossed out of this boat. And my cousin, who later told me he'd never been out on his own before in it, he was left sailing merrily away from me, unable to turn around and come and pick me up. But the waves, like Jonah, you know, were breaking over me. And I was taking on water. And I thought, this ain't good. You know, I thought at any time, literally, I might drown. And it was even sadder when the reason that we were holidaying with with the other family, my mum's sister's family, was to give us a holiday because my dad had just died 8 months before, and thought about me poor mother. Oh, she'd have to deal not only with her husband, but now her son. So, but I really felt at that time that I was going to drown. And this was kind of the position Jonah found himself in too. The waves crashing over, taking on water, thinking, this is it. My life is just about over. But I guess rather than thinking what his mother's reaction would be, he was thinking more about how far he felt away from God. And at this point, Jonah begins to pray. So this is like a prayer within a prayer. And he says, "I said I've been banished from your sight." You know, the reality really set in for him that he had blown it. And he felt so alone and ashamed. You know, he should have been heading with God to Nineveh, you know, in partnership, just the two of them, heading away. Yet here he was, close to drowning, feeling so alone, so distant from God. But another reality also set in on him as he was in this dangerous position. And that was, if he were to drown, despite all that he had done or not done in this case, he took comfort that he would still go to be with God. That he was in God's family and that would never change. So he says, I will look again from your holy temple. In other words, heaven would still be his home. So if somebody is in God's family, genuinely in God's family, you know, and they are taking a bit of detour, their salvation isn't at question. Heaven will still be their home. So that's a bit of a comfort we can take. Will never be removed from that. Then he carries on in verse 5. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Jonah, God's prophet, was now getting exhausted, now struggling to stay up, and he begins to lose the battle and he begins to sink. And he then says, seaweed wrapped itself around my head. Now, despite his best effort to stay afloat, he sinks right down to where the seaweed is. And, you know, you get that tremendous picture of getting entangled. And he was in dire straits at this point in time. And where should he be? In partnership with God, you know, doing amazing things for God. He says, I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. So he was at the bottom of the sea now. Very dodgy ground. And he says, I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. So this is a picture of a drowning man. And some scholars, you know, you can take two ways depending which way you want to go, that some suggest that he actually died at this point. But he was as close to, or else he was as close to dying as you could actually get. But then suddenly, something quite amazing happened. Now look at verse 7. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. Now seconds from drowning, God intervened. And then he describes what happens. Now we need to zap up to verse 2 now to get the kind of sequence of events. And he says, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the deep and the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry. So it seems that at the bottom of the sea, shortly before he died, if you're on that, shortly before he drowned, something happened. He began to call out to God. And then we go back to verse 7. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. So again, you picture him at the bottom of the sea, really struggling, his life flashing before his eyes. He begins to think about God. When he's so close to drowning, thinking about who God was, Almighty God, thinking about the call God had on his life. I guess he thought about his refusal to do what God had asked him. You know, all those things flashing before his eyes. And all those regrets and remorse would have come flooding as well. And he prays and asks God for a second chance. You know, what would God's reaction? He says, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. You know, it was a real prayer of regret and remorse. And I said it went right up to God. And it reached God. And God's answer was yes. And God answered it in quite an unusual way, some would say. He provided a fish that swallowed Jonah. You might think that's a bit weird, providing if God can create the world, create the animals, he can surely tell them to to do that. So God stepped in and answered his prayer. And it swallowed him, saved him from drowning. Now we're inside the fish, if you like, and Jonah's just thinking about this. And he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. In other words, how fortunate I am to be a follower of God who offers grace and forgiveness. Man, I was on a detour away from God. I prayed to God and he offered me forgiveness and grace. Wow. He was kind of like now, like those sailors who showed him up last week, if you were here. It was Jonah bobbing around in the water and these sailors were worshipping and praising God, really showing him up. And now, he was doing that. Look at the next verse. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. He was most grateful of that second chance that he was now being given, that God was showing to him, and he was worshipping and praising God as a result. And then he says, what I have vowed, I will make good. What he vowed to do, what God had asked him to do, he now vowed to do it. Again, those sailors from the previous chapter, they too vowed to follow where God wanted them to go. And now, that seasoned follower of God, his life now changed around, vowed that he would do the same. And he makes a wonderful statement. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And he will now let those Ninevites know that salvation comes from the Lord as well. Then, there's the verse. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach. Or, this particular version, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto dry land. And there was Jonah. His detour had ended and he was about to head to Nineveh. So here's a question. Are there second chances with God? No? Yes? Maybe think about it internally. Well, you might, I know I would vote for yes after this. And isn't that a comfort? Isn't that an encouragement? There was Jonah who was on a, as we looked last week, on a around a 3,200 kilometre sort of detour away from God. And there was a second chance for him. There was an opportunity for him to slot back in and serve him again. And we see that with King David as well. He really blew it with God, adultery and murder, and yet there was genuine sorrow and remorse, and he asked for forgiveness and was given another opportunity to serve God again. He wasn't left on the scrap heap. There was indeed consequences he had to live with, but he wasn't left on the scrap heap. And that's incredibly encouraging to me. There's a great book Ruth Graham wrote. I've just forgotten the name. She's the wife of Billy Graham. And in it, there was a chapter on her son, Franklin, who detoured as a young fella mightily away from God. And now Franklin heads up the Billy Graham organisation and Samaritan's Purse. You know, there are second chances for people. And I think of the friend who I talked about earlier. He wasn't written off by God. He He may have been by lots of other people, but not by God. And he's back involved, you know, pastoring and teaching. And I really thank God for that. Isn't that encouraging too for friends and family members that might be on detours away from God too? That God can bring them back and they can become a real asset for them. And I don't know whether maybe you or somebody here is off on a detour at the moment, you know, kind of a secret detour, maybe a little ashamed of it, but God does offer second chances to become a force for him. So jump off that detour, you know, come back and take the opportunity of coming back to God and following him. Let's pray and thank God. Father God, I thank you again for the Bible, just the practical nature of it that helps us to live for you. And thank you for the way, it's not sugar-coated, but we see the ups and downs of some mighty men of God, which we can identify with in our own lives. Now, Father, we take this opportunity just to think about people we know who are on detours from God, and we would really ask that you would do whatever it takes to draw them back to you. And Father, anybody here that needs some help or just needs to chat about to anybody, Father, they'll be bold enough just to seek someone out to have a natter with. Again, we thank you for just the salvation we have. We thank you for your Son who, Father, came down and suffered for us and allowed us to become part of your family too. We just take this time to thank you for that as well. Amen.